Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Final hour of the week. 14 hours up. 15th hour rolling through. Encourage you, as always, go seek out the whole show on podcast if you miss any of it. We love all of our 400-plus affiliates in all 50 states. But, man, Alex Berenson was fantastic at the top of the second hour discussing everything, the latest COVID data, where we may be headed based on what happened in Israel. We've also been talking about the rapid collapse of Afghanistan, the rise of the Taliban, the fact that we've had to call in 3,000 troops. Buck spent time in Afghanistan. We've been discussing that. We are going to have a little bit of fun because it is Friday the 13th, and we want to send you into the weekend with at least some positive thoughts in general. But with all the COVID vaccine mandates spiraling down in Philadelphia, New Orleans, San Francisco, L.A., New York City, but we haven't talked about yet what is an unmitigated disaster.
Another one.
The border, Buck Sexton. While the Biden administration may be talking about trying, which is an earlier story today, the AP reported that the Biden administration is considering restricting travel between states over COVID vaccines. Buck, the situation on the border in July, 220,000, I think it was, nearly people came across. It's basically a sieve. There's no protection there at all. For all of the talk about the concerns surrounding COVID, you've got people pouring across the border in numbers that haven't been seen in 20 or more years. And now we've got people in the Biden administration finally acknowledging that it's broken.
Well, behind closed doors, right?
Yes.
Not acknowledging in a way where we could say, oh, you mean you guys are starting to wake up to the reality? And let's just be clear, Clay. I was down in the Rio Grande sector of the U.S.-Mexico border, either in March or April. It's been a few months now, but I was down there with doing, you know, essentially right along with Border Patrol, going to see what they're seeing. And every Border Patrol agent I talked to, without exception, when I posed the very straightforward question to them, is the border open right now? They say yes. Every single member of Border Patrol and Immigration and Customs Enforcement that I spoke to, who are willing to speak to me, of course, the Biden administration doesn't want them speaking to anybody. When I asked them, is the border the worst right now in terms of lawlessness, illegal crossings, human smuggling, drugs transiting, including the fentanyl that was largely responsible for killing over 90,000 Americans last year?
30,000 more than ever before.
They said the worst that it has ever been. And as you just teed this up, The DHS Secretary Mayorkas is in a leaked audio to Fox News saying that it's unsustainable. No surprise.
This is unsustainable. These numbers cannot continue. We cannot get to a point where we were a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. We're looking at the policy options.
Just Clay, I mean, I know the audio wasn't great, and so for everyone listening, he said it's unsustainable. We cannot keep having these numbers. We're looking at all policy options. This is the guy in charge of DHS who, behind closed doors, when he's not in front of cameras, is saying all the things those right-wingers have been saying about our border is true. It is
unsustainable. The numbers speak for themselves, Buck. I mean, so much of this is about narrative versus data. You and I focus on the data to make arguments for the most part. I don't know if, and this is something I've been talking about for years now, I don't know if the average person in the media is too dumb to look at data and glean lessons from it, which is one option, and I think it probably applies to some people, or two, they are so committed to whatever narrative they're being told to push that they don't even recognize or are unwilling to discuss when the data clearly demonstrates that whatever narrative they're pushing is untrue.
So, Clay, you know, we do have right now a briefing at the Pentagon. We wanted to, can we join this in progress, guys, live? Here's John Kirby, Pentagon Press Secretary.
In just the last day or so, is because we had plenty of contingency planning in the works, and in fact, a lot of it complete, because we were, and as I've said many times from the podium, watching consistently the security situation on the ground. So, I can give you a brief update, a few additional details since yesterday. Now, as I do this, I think you can understand that I'm not going to have every detail that you might want. There's operational security that's still going to be a concern, and we're going to observe that here, just like as we have throughout the entire drawdown process. But I can tell you a couple of things. First, U.S. forces Afghanistan Forward continue to provide security at the Kabul airport and at the embassy. These are the existing security elements that were already in Kabul. This comprised of attack and lift aviation assets, infantry, security personnel, and some intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets that are already there at the airport. And they stay there, and they are still doing their jobs in terms of internal security there at Hamid Karzai International Airport. The troop movements that we mentioned yesterday are happening as we speak. Three battalions are preparing to move from their current locations in the Central Command Area of Responsibility to Kabul. And they consist of a Marine battalion that was already pre-staged in the region and has lift, sustainment, and support capabilities. An infantry, another Marine infantry battalion from a Marine expeditionary unit, and a U.S. Army infantry battalion. Now, some elements of one of the Marine infantry battalions are already there in Kabul, just the leading element. They're there. The rest of their forces will continue to flow over the next couple of days, and I expect that by the end of the weekend, the bulk of the 3,000 that we talked about yesterday will be in place. Probably not all, but the bulk. Now, from the United States, the brigade combat team that we mentioned from the 82nd Airborne Division that is prepared to go to Kuwait as a ready reserve force, they are now preparing to deploy. I do not have information that suggests they're on the way right now, but I suspect that in very short order, they will start to deploy and to arrive. Movement of some of the enablers that we talked about yesterday, designated to support the special immigrant visa processing in the region, that has also begun. These are primarily medical personnel. I think I told you yesterday it's a mix, medical personnel, some military police, some electrical engineers, that kind of thing. They are preparing to go. I do not have an indication today that they have actually left. Again, they are not going into Afghanistan. They are originally going to be sent into the region for further use as needed to support the SIV process. Now, as far as aircraft are concerned, to support the movement of civilian personnel, Transcom is, as we speak, working on their plans and their sourcing solutions with Air Mobility Command and working it out with Central Command as well to support this mission. Forces and support requirements are going to be rapidly assessed by their planners. They're working on that. And while we're not going to be able to give out a lot of detail today. Again, the plans and sourcing for aircraft support and airlift are being worked out. We'll have more to say about that when it's appropriate and when we can. But I do want to stress that airlift will not be a limiting factor in this mission. Airlift will not be a limiting factor. And as I said yesterday, it's not all going to be military aircraft that are used. There are Hamid Karzai International Airport is still open. Commercial flights are still going in and out. It doesn't I don't want to convey the sense that every lift of every individual is going to be done on a gray military aircraft, though they will be made available.
All right. So we just wanted to give you what the Pentagon is saying here. They're really just focusing in on the force protection, Clay, of what they're not saying is an evacuation, but I can tell you, having worked in places where we had to think about evacuation plans, had to prepare for it, this is the, you know, everybody get to the lifeboats, but don't panic moment of the Pentagon. That's what we're seeing right now unfold. And I appreciate that. Look, we got Americans in harm's way. We want all of our people back safe and sound. First and foremost, the most important thing. So I appreciate Kirby's tone and poise here. That's what you would want. But let's not make any mistake about this, Clay. They're saying Kabul could fall tomorrow. It's like there was no Afghan army to fight against the Taliban.
And it's like we were never there. I mean, that's what's wild. You are seeing all of this American military apparatus, billions of dollars, effectively now in Taliban hands. And the question that is going to be asked, for I think for years to come, is how much danger are we creating by effectively allowing the Taliban to take back control of Afghanistan? And by the way, we want our American soldiers and all our American employees in the embassy to get out safely. We don't want another Benghazi. But remember all the talk, Buck, about how we were lifting up all the women of Afghanistan and how we were going to give them opportunities to get educations and go to school, and we were going to nation build, and we were creating a new dynamic in that country? All of those people are now back under the thumb of the Taliban, which, when you look at the disconnect between the egalitarian world that the Democratic Party claims to favor and what is now going to be the case in Afghanistan, it's just another failure and hypocrisy for Joe Biden. And really, I mean, I wonder, at some point, are people going to start to point to all of the failures of this Biden administration? I think it's going to be hard to avoid.
How much is too much is the question that you want to start to ask about this Biden team. What have they done well? Remember how they were doing all the victory dances about COVID and vaccination and, oh, they're so much better at distributing shots. I mean, Trump did Operation Warp Speed, but the distribution, which they already had in place after pretending they didn't when the Biden team took over, that was their big calling card, Clay. That and the economy, which, by the way, they said won't have really bad inflation, but actually looks like it is going to have some really bad inflation.
Every choice they're making is failing.
The border, awful choices leading to awful outcomes. Crime, awful choices about defund police leading to awful outcomes. Afghanistan, the evacuation, the drawdown, awful choices leading to awful outcomes. I mean, you really have to think I guess they're better about preferred pronoun usage in this White House. So, yay, we could all be happy.
It's really a funny thing to think about. Unfortunately, we're all bearing the brunt of the failures. What have they actually done well? It's just crickets. I mean, and not only not done well, what has not blown up in their faces in a disastrous fashion? And I really think, Buck, if Alex Berenson's right, which is why I would encourage everybody to go listen to that interview we did with him at the beginning of the second hour, this COVID implosion is going to be impossible to ignore, and COVID is going to become a metaphor for failures.
But just
everywhere.
Remember, their failures, unfortunately, only result in more authoritarianism.
That's the fear.
Have to be ready for that.
That's the fear.
And that's what I would expect going forward. But Clay, we can come back and we're going to be following this Pentagon press briefing in case there's anything that comes out of it that's breaking news. But we did promise everybody we're going to get into some happy times, and we're actually going to try to get them into some very comfortable underwear too.
No doubt, because Apollo is Tommy John's newest and most advanced men's underwear yet, with a performance-grade dry-release fabric blend that's exclusive to Tommy John. It's Tommy John's latest comfort innovation. You can't get it anywhere else. Apollo men's underwear, proven to keep you drier and up to 7 degrees cooler, which, given the temperatures outside, man, that makes a big difference, than regular cotton underwear. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Apollo underwear, soft, supportive, and stretches for the perfect fit every day, and it's available in sizes up to 4XL. With over 15 million pairs sold, men across America love Tommy John underwear because there's no more flopping, sticking, or chafing. All those are awful. And like all Tommy John underwear, Apollo comes with the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. Tommy John's new Apollo men's underwear, high-end for your rear end, and you can't get them anywhere else. Right now, 20% off your first order. A lot of women out there, I know, as we roll into the weekend, your men have old underwear. Solve this issue right now and save a bundle in the process. TommyJohn.com/Clay and Buck. Go to TommyJohn.com/Clay and Buck. 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Clay and Buck. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, third hour of our Friday the 13th show, and we will be talking about spooky movies and scary movies and things like that coming up. We want to sort of send everybody off for the weekend without us just talking about the news right now. There's some tough stuff out there. We are watching the situation in Afghanistan very closely. We're also watching the catastrophe at the border and the reality of the COVID mandates for vaccines and all the rest of it. But speaking of which, I mean, my theory about Biden, Clay, is that nothing should be surprising to any of us, because when you elect a second tier politician with a third tier intellect who's never been impressive one moment in his very long public life, you're going to get an administration that looks like what we're seeing right now. But he's got a little bone to pick with you, Mr. Travis, or at least with some of the folks who have been making noise in Tennessee about mask mandates.
Here I saw a video and reports from a Tennessee of protesters threatening doctors and nurses who were before a school board making the case that to keep kids safe, there should be mandatory masks. And as they walked out, these doctors were threatened. These nurses were threatened. You know, our healthcare workers are heroes. They were the heroes when there was no vaccine. Many of them gave their lives trying to save others. And they're heroes again with the vaccine. They're doing their best to care for the people refusing to get vaccinated. To the mayors, school superintendents, educators, local leaders who are standing up to the governor's politicizing mass protection for our kids, thank you. Thank God that we have heroes like you. And I stand with you all, and America should as well.
Pardon me while I clean up the vomit off my shoes, but go ahead, Clay.
Masks don't work, Mr. President. There's no evidence that they work at all. And I'm fired up because I went Tuesday night to make that argument in front of my local school board, and there were over 1,000 parents there and kids arguing against masks. And you know what happened, Buck? This is what happens all too often. There were two or three people, which we played the audio on this show, just yelling that they disagreed as the people who had countervailed the overwhelming majority of people in my school district's opinion and voted masks for kids, that were telling those people that they didn't support that choice in no uncertain terms. It wasn't like it was violent. It wasn't like there was danger. It wasn't anything like that at all. They took that clip of about 20 seconds and tried to turn it into a representative sample of what happened on Tuesday with over 1,000 people there. And this is so unfortunate because it's what happens all the time. And they're trying to demonize people who don't believe in masks and look at the data as if we are awful human beings. And we aren't. We're actually, I believe, the majority of sane people in America right now.
Yes, but unfortunately, we're not calling the shots in a lot of these cities. I worry that we're going to come back on Monday, Clay, and there'll be even more places with vaccine passport mandates in place, even more localities that decide to go with this. But we're going to hold that because the Field of Dreams baseball game. Yay, everybody. Good things happen, too.
Yeah, you know, I had to get Alex Berenson to say that, Buck, because he's such a doom and gloomer. I wanted there to be some positivity, and here's some positivity for you. How about American history and civics education at a turning point? We can't allow bureaucrats and lobbyists to choose what school children are taught. We need to teach the whole truth, and my friends at Hillsdale College argue for teaching the truth. They've made the Hillsdale 1776 curriculum downloadable for free at k12.hillsdale.edu, not only to teachers, but to citizens like you and me to share with other concerned Americans. K through 12 history, complete history and civics curriculum with educators getting guidance, not mandates. It allows students to learn the tragedies and triumphs of Americans' history as it really happened through a complete and honest study of history so they can understand the world in which they live. They deserve, our children do, to be taught the truth through a sound curriculum created by teachers, not bureaucrats. We need right now for you to download Hillsdale 1776 curriculum for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. Final half hour of what has been, I mean, it's kind of wild to think about, Buck, all the different stories that have happened this week. I mean, just even while we were on the air, Andrew Cuomo resigns. And by the way, the New York State House and Senate there, the State Assembly, have said that they will cease their impeachment proceedings now that he is resigning, which means there's no lasting censure that is coming from the political realm there, at least for Andrew Cuomo. Afghanistan on the verge of falling. all sorts of COVID insanity. If you're just starting off with us, we discussed to begin this show, Philadelphia, New Orleans, San Francisco, LA, New York City, all different versions of vaccine passports. The border is a sieve. It is increasingly pure bedlam all over the place. Cities are killing fields. So we're like, man, it's Friday. Let's have a little bit of fun. So I got a positive story for you, Buck. Field of Dreams is going to be one of the most watched regular season baseball games in probably a couple of decades. What they did, for those of you who are fans of the original movie, which came out all the way back in 1989, was they built the Iowa Cornfield baseball field. And yesterday, the Yankees and the White Sox played a game. It ended in a walk-off home run into the corn stalks. It was riveting television. It was fabulous in all respects. They began the game by having Kevin Costner walk out of the corn stalks like he did in the movie, and then all of the players walked out of the corn stalks as well. And I got to tell you, it was an incredible scene. A lot of fun. I know that a huge number, I would imagine, of our listeners watched it. Buck Sexton, I bet you didn't see one. Have you seen a highlight of the game?
I was busy digging into what's going on in Afghanistan, Clay. I hate to break it to you. I did not have time to see the field. I did watch the movie back in the day.
Did you like the movie?
I like the movie. I would say I think I'd give it like.
Are you a Kevin Costner fan?
Wow,
or are you
look
a Kevin
at this.
Costner
look at
hater?
Lawyer Clay, the prosecutor,
the way
is not
you said
done here.
Like, you know, made me think okay. It's not necessarily an endorsement.
So here's the thing. I would argue, and our audience people can get, you know, they have very different opinions on this, I'm sure. I would argue that Kevin Costner's body of work includes some very good movies. That does not mean that Kevin Costner is one of my favorite or even very good actors. That's the only controversial thing. I feel like you could replace him with a lot of other guys in the 80s and 90s, and nobody would have known the difference.
All right, so we're going to open up the phone lines
look
here.
At this.
Pro
the
or
trap.
Con on Kevin Costner. And here's the deal. I loved Kevin Costner already, but I love the television show Yellowstone. I can't wait for season. I think it's 3 or 4. I'm caught up. I think it's season 3 that's about to start. You hate Yellowstone, too.
I hate Yellowstone. I feel like it's a little bit bleak and a little depressing, and the people involved are all leading very kind of sad and empty lives. But that said, the sets are beautiful. I do like all the scenes of Buffalo and Montana and all that other stuff. So I got through about 5 or 6, because a lot of people that I like and respect out there have said, you got to check out this show.
I love this show.
Whereas, like I also, Longmire, which has kind of a similar, like that, I found easier for me than, I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It's about a sheriff out west, sort of similar situation, similar setting, I mean, to Yellowstone. But I mean, Kevin Costner, I don't know. I feel like he plays the same. You know, I love Vince Vaughn, right? I love Vince Vaughn. Yeah. We should actually have Vince Vaughn on the show at some point. I'm a big Vince Vaughn fan. It is also true to say Vince Vaughn plays himself in every movie he's ever been in. Like, he plays Vince Vaughn. I think that's true of Kevin Costner, but I just think that Kevin Costner is, you know, I don't get as excited about other people. That's all I can tell you.
So I've never been to Montana.
You saw Waterworld, right? Come on.
But yeah, that was like 25 years ago.
Look at this.
Look, Field of Dreams was fantastic. Bull Durham was fantastic. What was the one where it was out in the West and he was with
Dances with Wolves. He got the
Dances
Oscar.
With Wolves.
He was probably
incredible.
The biggest Hollywood draw in the country for a couple of years there. I think that's fair to say.
From like 88 to 94, Kevin Costner was as big of a movie star as there was anywhere in the world, right? I mean, I'm guessing
he's
years.
Also apparently a good guy from like the rumor mill that I'm able to pick up, you know, 7 degrees of, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever way.
I love Yellowstone. I think his character in Yellowstone is absolutely phenomenal. I love everything about it. Now, I've never been to Montana, but I did find out.
Well, I've been to Montana, so let
you
me tell
I
you,
been
Clay,
to the
it's
real
a beautiful
West.
Place.
But I went out to Park City in March with my family and found out that they filmed a lot of the Yellowstone scenery in that Utah area, which is also incredibly beautiful. So I think our audience is going to be wildly favorable towards Yellowstone and Kevin Costner.
Yeah, no, people are going to like, they're going to like Yellowstone, I think. Well, because there's also very few high, like, well-done, high-production shows that take that part of America and try to depict it, right? I mean, you have endless shows
now
that are set in New York and Los Angeles and, you know, Miami.
If Yellowstone were accurate, the murder rate in Montana would be like, it would make Chicago look like the safest place on the planet.
Well, that was true about Longmire, too. You got this sheriff who's out in the Dakotas or whatever. And, you know, this guy's getting into cartel gunfights with eight guys at a time. You're like, I don't know. I don't know if, like, Billings, Montana is really getting that wild with the gunfights in contemporary days. I'm not sure about that, but, you know.
Yeah, I loved Deadwood, too, but in a similar fashion.
At least now.
Oh,
I'm actually
just catching
going
up?
Through Deadwood is amazing. I'm almost done with season one. I just started that one recently. But do we want to take a couple Field of Dreams calls and then talk about Friday the 13th and then scary movies?
It's Friday the 13th, by the way, out there. Let's take some of your calls.
Yeah, everyone, don't walk under a ladder. Peter in California, what do you got for us?
Happy Friday, Clay and Buck.
Thank you.
So I really appreciated the Field of Dreams game. That was the best neutral site LB game I've ever seen. I hope the LB will make it a permanent thing going forward. And I really, really appreciate it so much. As for an idea I've got for an outdoor game, an outdoor sporting event, the NFL should hold a football game annually at the Remember the Titans Stadium or the Friday Night Lights Stadium. I think that'd be really incredible.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Friday Night Lights.
If we're talking about shows that are set in like a part of America that doesn't always get as Friday Night Lights. I watched it all the way through twice.
Friday Night Lights is one of the best dramas to ever air on network television. I mean, it's an incredible show. And for those of you out there who maybe missed it or didn't see it, it's riveting, incredible television. I like the idea, by the way, the NFL's adding a 17th game. I love the idea of every NFL team playing a 17th game in a non-traditional stadium fans wouldn't otherwise get to see an NFL game, right? Like, so if you played a game in Montana or in Utah or in, Arkansas, like these different places that don't have access to NFL stadiums, I think it'd be really cool to do.
Yeah. Well, let's get Chris in Conroe, Texas. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Clay and Buck, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys. You're both doing a wonderful job carrying the torch for Rush, and we all love you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
As far as Kevin Costner goes, I don't agree with his politics, but I've enjoyed most of his movies through his career. Bull Durham, Dances with Wolves was fabulous. It was beautiful. And then the one I really enjoyed most recently was the Netflix.
The Highwayman. Chris, thank you, man. I'm sorry. You're cutting up a little bit there, but he was saying that he liked Kevin Costner's The Highwayman about Bonnie and Clyde. I actually watched it. Did you see that on Netflix?
I haven't seen it.
Very good. Very well. Very, very well done. Very sort of true to life. Excellent. I would say that was one of my favorite Kevin Costner appearances.
Yellowstone, I'm going to guess, it was.
I like that you're all in on Yellowstone. Like, you're not halfway. You're absolutely all in on Yellowstone. Ray in Iowa. Ray, what do you got?
Yes, I like Field of Dreams. I'm not a baseball fan, but I like it. And I like Dances with Wolves and Silverado. The rest are kind of iffy or corny, however you want to call it.
Have you seen Yellowstone yet, Ray?
No, I haven't.
Add it to the list.
All right, yeah. Ray, thank you so much, man. Clay, I would just say this, we're also not even counting. There was like that movie where Kevin Costner is the last vote in America to determine the. I mean, I know every actor has had their.
One. Yeah, he made some. He made some questionable decisions.
He's got some stinkers in there. He's got some rough stuff along with the ones that we're all throwing out there and talking about. It's funny. I remember we talked about sports movies. Your favorite all time, you said, was Major League. I said Rocky. Right. That was.
I think just from a
that.
Pure entertainment perspective, I asked people what their favorite baseball movie was, and people loved The Sandlot. Now, The Sandlot, a little bit younger than us. But my kids think The Sandlot is the greatest movie.
That's a great movie. All right, let's come back into some some weekend thoughts for all of you, as well as Friday the 13th. You know, if you're into, I've never asked Clay about, you know, scary. Do you movies, Clay?
I love scary movies.
I had a feeling you would. I'm actually.
We have a big Halloween party every year. My wife is all in on it. It's one of my favorite things that we do.
I'm a little bit, I stay away from the super scary movies. I'll tell you why, though, when we come back. You know, if you haven't already hooked yourself up with some of Mike Lindell's products from MyPillow, you're missing out, all right? They're incredible. We've got the MyPillows in, well, my household is me, but we got the MyPillows, we got the Giza Dream Sheets, we got my towels, we got my slippers. They're amazing. And the products that started it all for Mike Lindell. I mean, this is a great American company, and Mike stands against cancel culture and the lockdown crazy left in ways that really matter by supporting and partnering with shows like this. Clay, you got the same products.
Amen. I love the products, but I love the fact that Mike is not backing down from what he believes in, and you need to support people who are willing to do that in our cancel culture era. I've got the Giza Dream Sheets everywhere. They're made from the world's best cotton, and right now, you can get 50% off with the promo code CLAYANDBUCK. All MyPillow products, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets as low as $49.99. These sheets are incredible. With the code CLAYANDBUCK, you can also call 800-792-3269. Deep discounts everywhere on MyPillow products. Use the code CLAYANDBUCK.
In the closing segment of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show for this Friday, and it is Friday the 13th. We're going to talk a little bit about some scary movies to close you out here. I'll just get right to it, Clay. For me, nothing comes close, and there's a quick backstory to this one. I used to live on Prospect Street in Georgetown, and I lived in a little basement apartment, and I had to walk past the Exorcist steps from the end of that movie every single day. And every time I walk past, you look down those, they become kind of a tourist attraction now.
Yes.
For me, scariest movie ever made, especially as a Roman Catholic who went to Jesuit school growing up, The Exorcist, no question.
They're remaking The Exorcist, I think, right? Like a new trilogy, I believe. I feel like they just sold that recently to one of the streaming companies. But I got to tell you this, in college, one of the most fun places to be was Georgetown for Halloween. People go all out. Everybody's dressed up. It's an incredibly awesome scene in our nation's capital, Georgetown. I mean, for college, that was one of the most fun things you could do. I love scary movies.
No, but what's the scariest of all time, Clay? We got to pin you down here, buddy. You can't appeal to all the scary movie fans. You got to pick a side.
I will tell you this. After one of the Conjuring movies, I went to go see it by myself. I came back home, and my kids and my wife were out of town, and I left every light in the house on, and I locked the bedroom door because I was so, this is me, you know, 36, 37 years old. It's not like I was like,
you're
know,
in Nashville.
A young
this is
guy.
When you cock the 12 gauge. You're all right.
I was a grown man who left all the lights on in my house and locked all the doors after I went to go see I love those Conjuring movies. Those are spooky. Those are well done.
Conjuring. All right. I've never seen one and probably won't.
Oh, they're good.
Scary movies. I don't know. Especially anything that has to do with demons or possession.
Yeah, there
and
you go. That's what it is.
That's,
demons
oh,
and
my
possession.
Gosh.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I spoke to a priest once who does the whole exorcism
thing. Oh, that's
thing.
Scary.
And I was like,
real.
I don't ever want to talk to you about this again. Yeah, that's not something we're going to do. Let's get to some of the calls here, shall we? Friday the 13th. Wanda in Maine. Wanda, welcome.
Hi. First, love Kevin Costner. Yellowstone, best television show on TV.
There you
wow.
go.
Look at that.
Beth is my favorite next to Kevin Costner.
I just want to know how Clay gets his cousins to call in with such regularity. Wanda, thank you so much for calling in from Maine. We appreciate it.
I love, right now, Succession is my favorite show on
television. I would co-sign, but it's not on right now, right?
The new season's about to start
this fall. That's a brilliant show. Absolutely
so well
love Succession.
Done.
Totally
and,
agree.
But Yellowstone is my second favorite.
And I would recommend for anybody out there, Peaky Blinders, but don't be shy about putting the subtitles on because it's really hard to understand what the heck those people are talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Sal in Eastern Pennsylvania. What's up, Sal?
God rest Rush Limbaugh. With Biden in the White House, every day is Friday the 13th.
All right,
Sal.
That's not a bad line.
Thank you, Sal. Appreciate
I got to say, we're trying to close out things positively, and then Sal just comes
Sal is like, we're not done. We're not done with Biden yet.
There's been a lot of negativity out there in America. We're saying, hey, let's send people into the weekend on a good mood, and then Sal says there's some truth to it. There's some truth to it.
David down in Tampa, Florida. What's up, David?
I just wanted to say, he would never be doing the current movie that you're talking about.
Kevin Costner wouldn't have been as good.
Yeah, without first being tutored by Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall is so good. If you like Westerns, my wife makes fun of me about this. Television miniseries Lonesome Dove, based on the Larry McMurtry novel, Tommy Lee Jones and Robert Duvall, one of the best Westerns ever made. You seen it?
Haven't.
The book's phenomenal.
I just made myself watch the Outlaw Josie Wales for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have to say, I think held up very well as a film. I think it was really solid. I was impressed. I was like, Clint Eastwood's such an American icon. I think we probably would agree on that one.
Yes.
And incredible. And you look at his recent movies. I actually watched In the Line of Fire recently, too, because it was
still
on TV.
Good.
Great movie. Holds up really, really well. Mark in Ohio, you got some Field of Dreams thoughts.
Yeah, as a Cleveland Indians fan, which I'm not sure if I'm still allowed to say that or not,
we'll bleep it in post.
What's that?
We'll bleep it in post. Go ahead.
There you go. I was watching the game last night, and I just thought it was kind of interesting that the only mask I saw being worn was by a girl sitting right behind home plate, so every time the camera would go to the batter, you would see her right back there. And then she like, oh, I got to put it back on.
Okay. Mark, thanks so much, man. Thank you, everybody, for calling in and joining us here to have some fun on a Friday, some movie talk, some show talk to end things. Clay, we already know, over the course of this weekend, we're going to have huge stories for everybody Monday. If you missed anything today, please go to clayandbuck.com. Also, check out our podcast, The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
No doubt. Thank you also for the early support you have shown. We had a caller talking about it, but all over the nation, you guys have shown a tremendous amount of respect for our show. We're continuing to try to uphold the things that Rush cared about deeply, and we're gratified by being able to carry the mantle on forward. We appreciate you guys rolling with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.